It's tax time, y'all. If you want to file free, this next one's for you. Now taxes is so free. Love that jam. Up next, commercials.
Intuit TurboTax Free Edition. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Don't miss the deadline. File by 4/15. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
Saturday Night Live celebrated 50 years with comedy music and a slew of famous friends. During Sunday night's live broadcast, frequent host Steve Martin did the opening monologue, telling the audience of stars, "I was actually vacationing on a friend's boat down on the Gulf of Steve Martin when I got the call to do the show." Jimmy Fallon said on the red carpet, being part of the cast was a dream come true.
Since I was a kid, I used to cut my birthday cake and make a wish to be on Saturday Night Live and throw a coin in a fountain. And 50 years later, here I am. I'm the luckiest guy on earth.
The night included cameos from Tom Hanks, Eddie Murphy, Meryl Streep, and Jack Nicholson, just to name a few of the many stars. The first show was in 1975. Original cast members included John Belushi, Gilda Radner, and Chevy Chase. Julie Walker, New York.
Recently hired employees with the Food and Drug Administration have been fired in the Trump administration's efforts to cut the federal workforce. Probationary employees say they received notice Saturday. The firings appear to focus on FDA employees in food, medical devices, and tobacco products, including oversight of electronic cigarettes. It's not clear how many people were let go. On Friday, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said it was firing 5,200 newer employees across its agencies, including the FDA, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the National Institutes of Health. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met Sunday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem, and Rubio says that President Donald Trump has made it clear what his stance is when it comes to Hamas.
Hamas cannot continue as a military or government force. And frankly, as long as it stands as a force that can govern or as a force that can administer or as a force that can threaten by use of violence, peace becomes impossible. They must be eliminated. It must be eradicated.
Trump also has proposed transferring Palestinians out of Gaza and redeveloping it under U.S. ownership. Netanyahu said Sunday that he and Trump have a common strategy, including, quote, "when the gates of hell will be opened," end quote, if all the hostages are not released. I'm Donna Warder.
The IRS will lay off thousands of probationary workers in the middle of tax season, according to two sources familiar with the agency's plans, and those cuts could come as soon as next week. This comes as the Trump administration intensified sweeping efforts to shrink the size of the federal workforce by ordering agencies to lay off nearly all probationary employees who had not yet gained civil service protection. IRS employees involved in the 2025 tax season were told they were not allowed to accept a buyout offer from the Trump administration until after the taxpayer filing deadline, a letter sent recently to IRS employees. President Trump has threatened tariffs on semiconductors, arguing production must be returned to the U.S., but he's also criticized a Biden-era law designed to revive domestic semiconductor manufacturing by providing billions for computer chips and scientific research. Trump has called the federal contracts made with the help of the CHIPS and Science Act ridiculous and said companies didn't need money to prioritize chip making in the U.S., signaling Trump doesn't support the program. Experts warn that type of policy would harm consumers and hamstring the U.S. competitive edge in developing chips. The Vatican says Pope Francis is in stable condition at the hospital being treated for a respiratory tract infection. The 88-year-old pontiff spent Sunday watching Mass on TV and alternating between reading and resting. Well-wishers were outside the Rome hospital praying for him. The Pope was admitted to the hospital Friday as a young man. He had part of his lung removed after an infection and is prone to respiratory issues. I'm Julie Walker.
Under the Biden administration, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission had filed a lawsuit against Harmony Hospitality LLC on behalf of a fired hotel employee in Alabama who identifies as non-binary male and gay. Now the agency, under the Trump administration, is moving to toss out its own lawsuit, arguing the case conflicts with President Donald Trump's recent executive order that the federal government would recognize only two sexes, male and female. Just last year, the EEOC updated its guidance, saying that deliberately using the wrong pronouns for an employee or refusing them access to bathrooms corresponding with their gender identity constituted a form of harassment. That followed a 2020 Supreme Court ruling that gay, lesbian, and transgender people are protected from employment discrimination. Donna Warder, Washington.
The Justice Department asks the court to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. A judge must still approve that request made Friday night. Several prosecutors, including the acting U.S. attorney in Manhattan, quit in protest, saying the evidence against Adams was solid and the request by the Justice Department was a quid pro quo. Adams' help on immigration in exchange for dropping the case. The Justice Department had said the charges needed to go away for now so Adams, a Democrat, could help fulfill President Trump's immigration agenda. Adams has said he did nothing wrong and the charges, including bribery, were politically motivated. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says many of the deaths in his state from the storms, including a mother and her 7-year-old child swept away in their car by floodwater, were caused by vehicles getting stuck in high water.
Avoid driving through covered roadways. That's where we're losing the most people. Stay off the roads. If you hit water, turn around. It's not worth dying.
Much of the U.S. is facing another round of biting weather, says National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Borovec.
There's still some big winter weather impact.
The northern plains facing life-threatening cold. Tornado watches issued for parts of Georgia and Florida, while snow and sleet remain in the forecast for the Northeast. 5 people in western New York have been charged in the torture and murder of a transgender man. Authorities say the body of 24-year-old Sam Nordquist was found in a field in Canandaigua Thursday. He'd been reported missing earlier in the month after coming to New York in September from Minnesota and losing touch with family. Ontario County DA Jim Ritz.
The facts and the circumstances of this crime are beyond depraved. This is by far the worst homicide investigation that our office has ever been a part of.
That audio courtesy WHAM. Police say Nordquist endured repeated acts of violence and torture from December to early February and are investigating his relationship to the 5 people arrested, including at least one of them, a woman who was living with Nordquist. Julie Walker, New York.
I'm Seth Zutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Wall Street edged back from an all-time high following some mixed profit reports from big companies. The S&P 500 barely budged on Friday. That came a day after the index rallied to within 0.1% of the record high it set last month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dipped 165 points. It's about 0.4%. The NASDAQ Composite rose about 0.4%. Airbnb rallied more than 14% after the company reported stronger profit for its latest quarter than analysts had expected. Applied Materials fell about 8% after giving a revenue forecast that came up a bit short. Treasury yields eased in the bond market. The government reported that sales at retailers weakened much more sharply last month than expected. Seth Sutel, New York.
A woman who said she was raped by Jay-Z and Sean Diddy Combs when she was 13 years old withdraws her civil lawsuit, but no reason is given in the Friday filing. The unidentified woman alleged she was attacked by the rappers in 2000 after Diddy's limo driver offered her a ride to an MTV VMA afterparty. Jay-Z, who vehemently denied the claims, calls her accusations laughable and her decision to withdraw the lawsuit a victory. Diddy is facing a wave of sexual assault lawsuits, some from the same lawyer. He was also hit with federal sex trafficking charges and is in jail awaiting a criminal trial. Julie Walker, New York.
William Byron raced to his second straight Daytona 500 victory, surviving a string of late race wrecks that sent the Hendrick Motorsports driver into victory lane at Daytona International Speedway. Ninth in the number 24 Chevrolet with one lap left, Byron became the first back-to-back winner since Denny Hamlin in 2019 and 20.
Obviously, it worked out in a fortunate way for us, but it's not all luck to win twice in a row, so it's a lot of teamwork.
Byron took advantage of another wreck on the final lap as NASCAR did not drop the caution flag and let the race finish. The 27-year-old Byron held on to win after two weather delays totaling more than 3.5 hours. Shaq's OGs won the first All-Star Mini Tournament in NBA history, getting 15 points from Boston's Jason Tatum and 12 from All-Star Game MVP Stephen Curry of the hometown Warriors to beat Chuck's Global All-Stars 41-25 in the final. First-time All-Star Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs led the Global Stars with 11 points in the final. It was the debut of the All-Star Mini Tournament format featuring four teams and three games, with only 40 points needed to end each contest. LeBron James of the Lakers sat out of the All-Star game, ending his 20-year streak of starts. In golf, Ludvig Åberg rallied down the stretch at Torrey Pines with four birdies on the last six holes for a closing 66 to win the Genesis Invitational by one stroke. In college basketball, Vanderbilt's Michaela Blake scored a Division I women's freshman record 55 points in a 98-88 overtime victory over Auburn. The Basketball Hall of Fame has announced its 17 finalists for Class of 2025 consideration. Players include Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Marcus Johnson, and Buck Williams. Women's players Sue Bird, Sylvia Fowles, Maya Moore, and Jennifer Azee are also finalists. The 2008 U.S. men's basketball team that won a gold medal in Beijing is also a finalist, as are coaches Billy Donovan, Mark Few, Jerry Walsh, and referee Danny Crawford. Heat managing partner Mickey Arison is also among consideration in the contributor category. The new class will be announced April 5th in San Antonio. I'm Gethin Kulba.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he told his ministers to not sign off on a proposed agreement with the United States that would have given the U.S. access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals as compensation for the support the U.S. already has given Ukraine, as well as future support. The proposal was a key part of Zelensky's talks with Vice President J.D. Vance on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference on Friday. And Zelensky says the offer was too focused on U.S. interests.
It's important that Vice President understood me that if we want to sign something, we have to understand that it will work and it will be very positive for both nations, and it will bring money and security.
The White House says the offer was an excellent opportunity, and by Zelensky not signing it, he's being short-sighted. I'm Donna Water.
An anti-settlement watchdog says Israel has issued a tender for the construction of nearly 1,000 additional settler homes in the occupied West Bank. Peace Now says the development of 974 new housing units would allow the population of Efrat settlement to expand by 40%. It would also block the development of the nearby Palestinian city of Bethlehem. Construction of the new homes won't start for at least another year after the contracting process and issuing of permits. Israel has already built more than 100 settlements across the West Bank, ranging from hilltop outposts to fully developed communities. More than 500,000 settlers live in the occupied West Bank, which is home to some 3 million Palestinians. The settlers have Israeli citizenship, while Palestinians live under military rule, a situation which major human rights groups have described as apartheid, allegations rejected by the Israeli government. Israel's military says a drone strike in southern Lebanon has killed the country's head of the militant Hamas group. They say the strike has killed Mohammed Shaheen, the head of Hamas's operations department in Lebanon. The army has accused Shaheen of recently planning terror attacks, directed and funded by Iran, against the citizens of the State of Israel. Footage circulating online shows a car engulfed in flames. The strike occurred near a Lebanese army checkpoint in Sidon's municipal sports stadium. The strike has come on the eve of the deadline for Israel's full withdrawal from southern Lebanon under the ceasefire agreement that's ended the 14-month war between Israel and Hezbollah. The original withdrawal deadline was in late January, but under pressure from Israel, Lebanon agreed to extend it to February 18. It remains unclear whether Israeli troops will complete their withdrawal by Tuesday. An Israeli drone has targeted a car in the southern Lebanese port city of Sidon, killing one person. Lebanese state media says it's the deepest strike in the country since a ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel took effect in late November. The identity of the victim is not immediately clear. Footage circulating online shows a car engulfed in flames. The strike occurred near a Lebanese army checkpoint and Sidon's municipal sports stadium. The strike comes a day before the deadline for Israel's full withdrawal from southern Lebanon under the ceasefire agreement that's ended the 14-month war between Israel and Hezbollah. Since the ceasefire, Israel has continued airstrikes in southern and eastern Lebanon, saying it's targeting military sites containing missiles and combat equipment. Israel and Lebanon have exchanged accusations of violating the ceasefire agreement. The Congolese government says Rwanda-backed rebels have occupied a second major city in mineral-rich eastern Congo. Standing before crowds of Bukavu residents, M23 rebel leader Bernard Maeshe Biamungu said they were in the city to restore order after it was abandoned by Congolese forces. The M23 leader has been sanctioned by the UN Security Council for rights abuses, but stood in front of the South Kivu's governor office telling residents they've been living in a jungle. Congo's government vowed to regain control of Bukavu, but there was no sign of soldiers, as many had fled alongside thousands of civilians. The fighting has displaced more than 6 million people in the region, creating the world's largest humanitarian crisis. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
Hundreds of protesters gathered Saturday outside the U.S. Embassy in Pretoria, South Africa, to show their support for President Donald Trump. Last week, Trump signed an executive order that cut aid and assistance to the black-led South African government, saying South African white citizens are being targeted by a new law that allows the government to expropriate private land. Pieter Ayes attended the protest.
We're advocating for Donald Trump and Elon Musk to have a look into the country and to the political stance what's happening here. With regards to the government corruption that's happening.
In a speech to Parliament last week, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said the forced removal of people from their land will never be allowed in South Africa again. Millions of blacks had their property taken away under apartheid, and now the 7% white population of South Africa owns most of it. I'm Donna Water.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to Progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.